Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio. Our Bible reading set for today plunges us straight into what is, for many people, a very painful topic. For in Mark 10, Jesus is asked to give his opinion on the question of divorce. I was reading an item in a newspaper this week, all about the proposal that fault-based divorces should be scrapped in an effort to reduce the bitterness surrounding marriage breakdowns, and that spouses would lose the right to hold up the completion of a divorce to which they don't give their consent. But in this article, I was shocked to find statistics which claimed that 100,000 couples divorce each year in England and Wales. I couldn't help but feel such a sadness that so many households have had to go through such grief and pain in our country. I once read that when a couple marry, it's rather like two pieces of wallpaper being stuck together. And when there is a breakdown in marriage, it's not easy to prise the wallpaper apart without there being a lot of damage and hurt on both sides, not only with the couple concerned, but children and grandparents too. In this first song, a mother spells out painful words she doesn't want her child to hear or understand. It's a very sad, a very moving song about divorce, made famous by Tammy Wynette, but here is Dolly Parton singing it. D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Our little boy is 4 years old and he's quite a little man. So we spell out the words we don't want him to understand. Like T-O-Y or maybe S-U-R. Watch him smile, he thinks it's Christmas or his fifth birthday. And he thinks C-U-S-T-O-D-Y spells fun or play. I spell out all the hurting words and I turn my head when I speak.
Here is our Bible reading from Mark 10, 2-9. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus was asked this question by some very learned Pharisees. It's almost certain that they knew the answer already. So what their motives were, we can only guess. Now, they really might have wanted to know what Jesus thought, but it's far more likely that they were trying to test him once again and ensnare him. You know, some of us can be a lot like that today. We know fine well what we think on a particular topic, but we just want to catch somebody else out and either expose their views as ridiculous or put them down in another person's estimation. I so wish there could be more honest sharing of ideas and beliefs, more respect and empathy in our world, don't you? Here's Katie Melua telling us that the lines between right and wrong are the width of a spider's web. Where do we draw the line?
If a black man is racist, is it okay? If it's a white man's racism that made him that way? 'Cause the bully is the victim, they say. By some sense, they're all the same. 'Cause the line between wrong and right is the width of a thread from a spider's web. The piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors in your mind. I could tell you to go to war, or I could march for peace and fighting no more. But how do I know? When he sends you to fight, 'cause the line between wrong and right is the width of a thread from a spider's web. The piano keys are black and white, but they sound like a million colors in your mind.
In our Bible reading today, we find Jesus in Judea, where King Herod reigned, the place where he had thrown John the Baptist into prison for opposing his illegal marriage to his brother's wife. John never left that prison and was beheaded by Herod. For Jesus to give any opinion here to the Pharisees on divorce was dangerous, to say the least. But Jesus very cleverly puts the question back in their own court, asking them, "What did Moses command you?" Now it's their turn to reply, but for them the answer is quite straightforward according to the rules handed down to them. They told him Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. Moses did indeed say words to that effect in Deuteronomy 24, that if a man found something objectionable in his wife and was displeased with her, he could draw up divorce papers and send her out of the house. Jesus then pointed out to them that Moses only complied because the hearts of the people were hardened. Marriage, he told them, was about two people becoming one flesh, a union God himself had blessed, uniting them together. So a love commitment is meant to be something beautiful, precious, and binding. The words of our next song are really beautiful. It's a Methodist hymn called Let Love Be Real. It says that we should be loving the other person as they really are, not seeking to manipulate or change or possess them.
Let love be real in giving and receiving, without the need to manage and to own. A heaven free from posing and pretending, where every weakness may be safely known. Give me your hand along the desert pathway. Give me your love wherever you may go. Still be my friend, my critic and my lover. Don't make me change, don't make me strange, but let me grow. Let love be real, not grabbing or confining. That strange embrace that holds yet sets us free, that help us face the roots of truly living, and makes us brave to be what we might be. Give me your strength when all my words are weakness. Give me your love in spite of all you know. Still be my friend, my critic and my lover. Don't make me change, don't make me strange, but let me grow.
That was the Redeemed Band singing Let Love Be Real. By the time of Jesus, husbands were divorcing their wives for the flimsiest of reasons, believing that the law permitted them to do so. In ancient Jewish law, a woman was regarded as the man's possession anyway. She had no legal rights, but was at the disposal of the male head of the family. And once married, a husband could divorce her on any grounds. But there were very few things on which a woman could seek divorce. All a man had to do if he found something objectionable about his wife was to have a bill of divorce drafted, approved by three rabbis, then handed on to the ruling council. So how does one define the word objectionable? Had the man's wife simply burnt the toast that morning? How serious did the crime have to be for her to be dismissed? And might it have been more likely that the man seeking dismissal had actually discovered another woman more attractive than his wife? Who knows? I was asked to write a song for my eldest son's wedding, and I based it upon 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter often read out at Christian weddings. It outlines aspects of the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated himself, which St. Paul encouraged us all to imitate. You see, we may be gifted, holy, and generous, but if we have no love in our hearts, all these things count for nothing. Here is If I Have Not Love.
Though I speak in tongues of angels and of men, but have not love, I will be a clanging cymbal, I will be a sounding gong. If I have not love, if I have not love, if I have not love, I am nothing. I may fathom every mystery, always give a reason why. I may have the gift of knowledge, I may even prophesy. If I have not love, if I have not
Though my faith can move a mountain, though I give my wealth away, lift my hands up in surrender, give my body to the flames. If I have not love, if I have not love.
Life together in marriage is well nigh impossible if love is not mutual, or if there's unfaithfulness, neglect, abuse or desertion. And those caught up in the process of divorce for such reasons through no fault of their own need so much support, encouragement and understanding. God is close to the brokenhearted and all those in despair. There may be some couples at present in a stalemate within their marriage, desperately longing to save it but not knowing how to or what to do or say. And they may find the words in our next song a help. When shadows fill our day, lead us to a place and guide us with your grace. Here in concert is Celine Dion and Andre Bocelli singing The Prayer.
I pray you'll be all right and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, a place where we'll be safe.
La luce che tu dai,
I pray we'll find your light,
nel cuore resterà,
and hold it in our hearts,
a ricordarci che,
when stars go out each night,
l'eterna stella sei. Fede c'è.
In a Christian marriage, the vows made between two people are not supposed to be taken lightly or irreverently. And marriage is not just about physical attraction. According to what Jesus said in today's reading, there ought to be a spiritual dimension to it, as well as a sacred union, blessed by God. Let me read to you from a book called Captain Corelli's Mandolin, outlining a father's advice to his daughter about what true love really is. Love is a temporary madness, he says. It erupts like an earthquake and then subsides. And when it subsides, you have to make a decision. You have to work out whether your roots have become so entwined together that it's inconceivable that you should ever part. Because this is what love is. Love is not breathlessness. It's not excitement. It's not the promulgation of promises of eternal passion. That is just being in love, which any of us can convince ourselves we are. Love itself is what is left over when being in love has burned away. And this is both an art and a fortunate accident. Your mother and I had it. We had roots that grew towards each other underground. And when all the pretty blossom had fallen from our branches, we found that we were one tree and not two. All relationships naturally have to be worked at, but it's such love as this that can weather the storms and resist those trendy voices that want to persuade us that faithfulness and commitment is old hat in today's modern world. It's a sign of our times that scandal among high-profile politicians and heads of state now is overlooked and tolerated by voters. Their lives are even described as colourful. The word adultery has been sugar-coated and is now love affair, wanderlust or a dalliance. Some people feel that unfaithfulness is promoted and encouraged by the media as well. Is marriage no longer sacred? I think it's true to say that most married couples experience hard times, challenging times. We've all been through them. I would imagine if we can just persevere and can bring ourselves to forgive one another and talk problems through, we can be strengthened by the experience. But often, tragically, pride can get in the way. Healing words don't always get said, and the problem is unresolved. Sincere apologies can bring healing to a relationship, but why is sorry such a difficult word to say? If only we could spend more time listening to each other than accusing, then things might be different. Here's a song of mine called The Quarrel, which tells us, don't be silent, talk your problems through. What you have together is so worthwhile, you have so much to lose if you don't. I'm singing it here with Pete Scott, a well-known musician from Whitley Bay.
To gain if we talk this thing through, only I am so afraid of losing you. Think of the way our love grew. Can't imagine life without you.
Why is my tongue so silent and so slow when I've got so much to say? There's so much to lose if we don't talk this thing. Only I am so afraid of losing you. How is it you fail to see? Without you, where would I be? I'm so afraid.
I'd like to finish the program today with one of the most popular wedding hymns of all time, one that addresses God as perfect love. It calls us to pray for and support couples making their sacred vows to one another. So during this hymn, let's take time to pray today for all marriages, for all those newly married couples learning about one another, for anyone we know whose marriage is in difficulties, for those in the process of divorce who are hurt, broken, and afraid, and for those who've made mistakes in the past and long to be forgiven. Let's also pray for all single people who so long for a love that's true in their lives, but who still haven't met their match. And may God bless us today as we offer these thoughts and prayers to Him. Here is O Perfect Love. Bye for now.
O perfect love, all human thought transcending, lowly we kneel in prayer before thy throne, that theirs may be the love which knows no ending, whom thou forevermore dost join. And